This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Apparently we got a request for me to sing Rick Springfield inserting Malzy into the lyrics, but that already happened yesterday. Well, where was this guy from? California?
Yeah, this was Kenny in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Arizona.
Yeah, Kenny, yeah. Your wish is my command.
I've done everything for Malzy. He's done nothing for me.
Isn't that the truth? He has helped my golf career. I will say that. He's been very supportive of my golf career.
I just imagine Malzy right now hearing that, just shaking his head and face-palming right now and just in utter disgust.
Or in utter relief that he's not doing a show with me
anymore.
That's
probably the case, yeah.
15-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Listen to this show every Wednesday to hear Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. It's an Ohtani card this week, correct?
That's right.
He's making history every day. He did it again last. I don't even remember what he did last night. He did something again last night. But this might be a valuable card someday. So go to the website.
Someday. It is right now.
Yeah. I mean, it'll just appreciate with time. What did this guy do?
He has 53 homers and 56 stolen bases.
I know, but something else happened last night.
Yeah, he had another steal last night to give himself 56. But
he ties Suzuki last night in baseball history. Listen to this. He has 53 homers, 56 steals, but his stolen base tied him with Ichiro. That's it. Most stolen bases in a season by a Japanese-born player. I mean, it's just every single day something happens. Now I see the ball from the 50th home run is up for auction. The 50-50 ball can be purchased for $4.5 million. Did you see that?
Yeah, and the auction is beginning at $500,000 as an opening bid.
So we wondered, you said all you wanted was Dodger season tickets, for God's sakes.
And
a jersey from Ohtani. I said, I'll take the ball home, get it auctioned or get it appraised, and then tell the Dodgers plus $100,000. I never dreamed it would be worth this. Did you?
No, I would not think that much. And the general said around $500,000.
The ball from the game is now going up for auction with bids starting at $500,000, but keen collectors can purchase it privately for $4.5 million.
The general said $150,000 at first, actually.
I mean, this is absolutely incredulent. Anyway, we're saying goodbye to the Pirates in the first hour here, coming off the Rowdy Tellez disaster. It's been a disappointing season, with the great caveat that Paul Skeens arrived, who has a chance. And you know, there's a lot of overdoing it in sports these days. A lot of prisoner of the moment stuff where this guy's the greatest, that guy's the greatest, this game was the greatest. He has a chance to be one of the greatest pitchers in baseball history. He might be the greatest young pitcher, rookie pitcher ever. So, I mean, that is historic stuff and awesome for fans, but a lot of what else happened was disappointing and just disastrous, and in some cases embarrassing. I think of Rowdy pitching three times in 11 days. I think of all the stuff we're talking about. Blowing a 10-3 lead in the seventh inning. Teams that had had 10-3 leads in the seventh inning or seven-run leads in the seventh inning or later. I think it was over the previous 7 years or 8 years, were 1,192-0. Well, guess what that became? Limits. You're right. 1,192-1. So we've handed out our awards, MVP, LVP. We're trying to describe this season in three words or less, correct? How would you describe it? You give me your three words. That's four.
More like seven or eight. I would say my three words are 77. Can I go numbers too?
Sure you can.
I'm going to just do three separate words and not make it a soliloquy. I'm going to say 76, deadline, disappointment. 76 wins was last year's total,
76,
and I don't think they're going to match that this
disappointment.
Year.
Okay.
The deadline was not what I expected it to be for them, and it's a disappointment because I thought they'd win 85 games, and I thought the decision-making would be better in a lot of game situations, but I should have known better, and I thought the Skeens effect would matter.
I'm going to go disastrous, but Skeens? With a little question mark. That's my three words. 412-928-9370. Let's go to the phone. Oh, we were going to do best moment, worst moment before we go to the phones. Best moment of the year was what? May I go first, Limits?
Yes.
Thank you. The best moment of the year, besides Skeens walking through the front door, was Skeens striking out Ohtani. It was a June night at PNC Park. He whiffed Mookie Betts to open the game. That's not a bad player. And then it happened. The best moment of the Pirates season. If you want to say it was the third pitch, go ahead. But that at-bat went right after Ohtani with three straight fastballs timed at 101.3, 100.1, and 100.8 and set him down on three swings and misses. That's the best moment of the season. You?
It was really cool. I was there at the game watching it.
I was there.
Ohtani ended up hitting a massive home run off of Skeens later on in the game into the bullpen.
Yeah.
Just so cool to see both powers go at it.
Yes.
In person. I was also at the Skeens debut, and that was one where I rearranged the entire Baldwin Wiffle Ball opening day schedule to attend.
And that's a big deal to you.
Seven or eight of us did, and it was a big deal to everyone.
Yeah. The moment he arrived, like I said, that is huge.
It was monumental.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Worst moment of the season was what?
Rowdy Tellez pitching three times?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's time. Embarrassing.
That was really, the first time it was funny.
It was.
Second time it was embarrassing. The third time it was honestly sickening. Because that, how does he become the symbol of the season? The two symbolic, really, moments of the season were probably Rowdy pitching and having a better ERA than David Bednar at the time after his third appearance, and then them stiffing Rowdy from a $200,000 bonus one game before he was going to get it. It's not just sticking. Here's the thing about that. I thought about this last night. It wasn't about sticking it to Rowdy. Who cares about him, honestly? He's rich anyway. It was about sticking it to the fans. They played Rowdy the whole season. They didn't get rid of him early, and then to his credit, he rebounded. Then he stunk again. They kept him here and kept playing him and kept playing players like him who were completely underachieving all season long. And then with five games left, that's when they DFA people? That's when they get rid of Rowdy? They were sticking it to the fans, too, by playing all these guys all year, all these horrible Ben Cherington signings. And like I said, with the Pirates, it wasn't that they had disappointing position players. They had players who became literally unplayable for months at a time. Whether it was Rowdy, who might have been the worst hitter in baseball, not named Key Brian Hayes or Jared Triolo for the first 3 months of the season, or Connor Joe, who was unbelievably still batting cleanup. That's the type of thing. They still had people like Connor Joe batting cleanup 2 weeks ago. And now they get rid of Rowdy. It's what are we doing here? Michael A. Taylor? You're just going to keep playing him? Thanks for DFAing him with six games or five games left in the season. All of that. I don't even know what I just said.
Well, the season will be known as the Paul Skeens year, at least for me. The debut, the All-Star game, being able to get Judge out on the first pitch. Just the Skeens factor is my best moment, and it lasts. There's multiple different moments.
So you consider this to have been a feel-good year for the Pirates?
No, not at all. It's a feel-good moment if you're a fan of Paul Skeens and if you're
someone who loves greatness. You said you'll remember this season for Skeens.
Yes, but I will also, in the same light, remember it for what the record was and the disappointment that all came with it. And Skeens, I think, masked a lot of it.
Let's go to the phones before we get to Hokie.
Here is Jeff in North Versailles.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Well, 0-for-30, and I don't mean the middle of our lineup in a weekend series against the team in the wild card we're chasing. 0-for-30 since the National League Central was created in 1994, and we put a cherry on top of the 30th year with a last-place finish. My term for the season is abstract disaster. If you tell me that we have the best pitching prospect, and I believe this probably in the last 50 years, we still find a way to end up in the same exact position.
Unbelievable.
My top moment was Skeens' first start against Chicago. For once in my life, my sad life as a Pirate fan, my player was better than your player all day.
Yeah, at the very batting, top of the league. Yep.
Whoever was batting, my worst moment of the season was every Cabrian Hayes at bat, I think. And we're already here.
Hey, listen.
He looks good in rehab.
He's on a strength and conditioning program. What's your name again?
Jeff in North Versailles.
Jeff in North Versailles. You've obviously been watching the Pirates for a long time. So have I, since the 70s. And I can tell you, and I'm not joking, and it's not just the Pirates. I have never, ever, ever seen a baseball player, a hitter, top the ball more than Key Brian Hayes. It's somewhere in a land far beyond infuriating, right?
If he would have grounded out to second just once when there was somebody on second with nobody out to get that runner to third, I would have considered it like hitting for the cycle for him. I mean, but he just kept topping the ball to short every time. Double play.
A ground out would have been grounds for a ticker tape parade. I mean, it was insanity. We have to go.
It was painful. Can I say one more thing?
Yes.
Can you imagine if you told a real sports franchise in a real sports city like Boston or New York, your team is not only not going to win a division title for 30 years till 2054, in that 30th year, they're going to be in last place. Think about it that way.
Well, think about it this way, and I appreciate the call. Their last playoff series win was 1979. You were what, minus 40 years old at that point? 30 years old?
Minus 32.
Let's take another call. Why don't we?
Here is Rich in Danville.
Where's Danville, Rich?
Danville's in Virginia. Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. I love your show. You're the best of all the day programs that I listen to. As a Baldwin and St. Elizabeth alumni, if I could take a quick minute to share.
Let's go, Rich.
You have a kindred spirit here in city limits. He's a Baldwin man.
And I'm a St. E's guy.
Yeah, listen to this. In 1959, our Monsignor Imicus was a minor league ball player, and Clemente was my hero at the time, and he had enough pull with the Pirates to have Clemente come out to Pleasant Hills and visit us at St. Elizabeth. I remember it like yesterday.
Wow.
I never knew that. That is incredible.
Remember it like yesterday. Those guys were great. And as far as my best moment of the year, and it might be the best moment, best one of the best games and best series, July 19th, we drove 8 hours. I spent $800 for tickets with my grandchildren on a section 119. We were playing the Phillies, who, if I believe right, were the best team in baseball record-wise then.
Yeah.
We were down 3-0. We were down 7-4. And when we had that walk-off in the ninth, bottom of the ninth, I looked at my two 11- and 14-year-old grandchildren. I'll never forget the look on their faces, and then we watched the fireworks. It was wonderful.
That is awesome. And you spent $800. We appreciate the call, man. And that's the type of fan, longtime fan, making financial sacrifice fan, that is all over this city and other cities. He's from Virginia. These are the people I've heard from over the past couple weeks, tons of them who have been watching the Pirates forever. And this was before the Rowdy embarrassment. Who have lent their hearts to this franchise and given their money to this franchise, and they want something more back, and they deserve something more back. And it ain't an $85 million payroll.